I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We welcome you to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the salvation of the lost and the revival of God's people. I'm Alan Mashburn, your Bible teacher and the pastor of Asbury Baptist Church, located at 218 Asbury Church Road in Seagrove, North Carolina. We invite you to visit our church at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. On Sunday evenings, we provide online services which can be viewed on gospeldynamite.org. Now please join me in the study of the Word of God. You're listening to Gospel Dynamite, and we want to welcome everyone who's listening by way of broadcast and podcast to this ministry. We invite you to take your Bible, turn with us to Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27, as we continue in this study of Romans 8, and today we deal with the diligence of the Spirit life, the diligence of the Spirit life. Begin reading in verse 18, Romans chapter 8. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even for ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 18 of our text reminds us of one of the most fundamental truths of the Christian life. That truth is, we are not home yet. While we wait to be delivered from this world, we need to remember that we are living in a world that is under a curse. And as a result of that curse, there's a lot of groaning, there's a lot of turmoil taking place. In the midst of all that, it's easy to become discouraged. And to be honest, it's easy to want to give up. However, if there's one thing this passage teaches us, it's that the Spirit life is one of diligence. The word diligence means to be characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic activity. It's the opposite of giving up. In fact, the Holy Spirit of God is able to give us hope during the troubled times of our lives. This passage concerns the struggle that is going on in and around all of us at this moment. Paul shares with us three arenas of life where there's diligence in the midst of a devastated world. Verses 19 through 22, we see that the creation groans. The word groaneth in verse 22 means to sigh. It has the idea of one groaning under a burden. This is the image used to describe creation. Creation came under the curse, not by its own doing, but because of the sin of Adam. We learned that in Genesis 3, verses 17 through 19. Because Adam chose to walk in rebellion to the clear command of God, all of creation was thrown under a curse. And verse 22, the Bible says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now." This verse depicts creation as sighing and writhing like a woman in the throes of childbirth. The results of that curse are plain to see. You see earthquakes, even on vines in the woods. You see thorns. You see deadly animals, poisonous snakes, poison plants, death and violence. Everything that marks a creation that has been fallen by the effects of sin. Even in the midst of creation's pain, it still lifts its voice to God in praise for His majesty and glory. If you don't believe that, then you just read Psalm 148 and Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. Verses 19 and 21, these verses tell us that creation itself expects to be delivered from the curse that has been placed upon it. The word in verse 19, the word expectation, brings to mind the image of a person standing on their tiptoes in order to see something. So too, creation yearns for that time when it will in fact be delivered in verse 22. It will be delivered from the ravages of the curse of sin. And while the world and all of creation resides under a curse, there's still great beauty in this world. Just call to mind many of the great vistas and views that are to be found all around us. Look at the beauty of the flowers and the wonderful variety to be found in the plant and animal kingdoms. Even in judgment, God is good and merciful. Try to imagine the most beautiful sight, the most beautiful and natural sight that you've ever seen. And with that image in mind, remember that what you saw was a sight marred with sin. And then try to imagine how glorious that same sight will be when the curse of sin is forever removed. Creation longs to be free. And God longs to free it. He shall someday, for when Jesus died on the cross for the redemption of sinners, He also redeemed this sin-cursed world. One day the shackles will fall off and all of creation will rejoice. Verses 23 through 25 we see, not only does creation groans, but the Christian groans. Along with creation, the child of God groans. Primarily, Paul is speaking of our desire to be free from these mortal, sinful bodies. He mentions the first fruits of the Spirit we see in verse 23. Paul says, not only is creation, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. This refers to the indwelling ministry of the Spirit of God in the believer's life. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, when we got saved, the Spirit of God moved into our spirit. And Jesus Christ cleansed our sin. God the Holy Spirit moved in. And when He came, He worked in us in such a way that we began to the process of seeing sin like God sees sin. In simple terms, the Spirit of God sensitized us to sin. We became sensitive to sin around us and in us. And as a result, we are afflicted by the sins we commit, and we're afflicted and we mourn for sin when we see others commit sin as well. When sin doesn't bother you, you have a serious spiritual problem. If you can witness sin and it not affect you, something is amiss. Something is wrong. Something is missing in your heart. And all of this serves to produce within the believer a sense of longing. We want, we desire, we long for to be delivered from the sinful mortal bodies of this flesh. Regardless of what anyone tells you, your flesh did not get saved. Your flesh is as depraved and as wicked as it's ever been. Paul gives great testimony to that in Romans 7 verses 18 through 25. Now you answer this question for me and be honest in your own heart. Aren't there times when you would do anything? You would do anything just to be free from your flesh. Wouldn't it be a blessing if you never again had a wicked thought? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you never again committed a wicked deed? You never had a sinful attraction, or you never had a moment in your heart and in your mind that you had lust or anger or malice or bitterness. Verses 24 and 25, Paul tells us that we are saved by hope. We're saved by hope. Now, what does that mean? First, we have to note that hope in the Bible is vastly different than what we have and know hope to be a meaning in our world today. When we use the word hope in our present day form, language, we say, well, I hope I can get there. I hope I can make it. What we're saying is, I wish, I desire, I want. But the implication there is that it may not happen. It's just what I desire. And it depends on circumstances. It depends on chances. It depends on whether or not I'm able to. It depends on whether or not someone else is able to. It leaves too much to chance. Yet when the Bible uses the word hope, it means an assurance based on a conviction. Or we could also say an earnest expectation. Now instead of hope being a fond wish or desire, a biblical hope is a deep, settled knowledge grounded in the promises of God. It's saying that I expect this to happen because God said it would happen, and it's as good as if it's already happening or already happened. We are saved by faith in the promise of God that tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is a conviction that salvation comes through faith in the shed blood and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the sure knowledge that one day our Lord will come for us and will take us to heaven. It is the assured knowledge that we will be changed from these vile creatures that we are, and that we will be made like Him. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 49 through 55. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We who are saved groan to be free from this body. We groan to be free from these bodies. Again, Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We long to be remade in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, I'm glad that I can report to you that this day is not one of those, I hope it comes. It is an assured event. That day is coming. One day, whether it be by the undertaker or the upper taker, this sinful flesh will breathe its last, and I will be remade in the image of my Savior. Psalm 17 and verse 15, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That was the heart of David, and it is the heart of every born again saint of God. The creation groans. The Christian groans. But notice with me in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, the Comforter groans. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, these verses go on to tell us that it isn't just the creation and the Christian who are groaning in this present age or this present world. Our heavenly Comforter, the blessed Holy Ghost, also groans with us. I'm glad that we have one with us who is able to experience our need. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. The Comforter sustains us. You see, verse 26 teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us as we travel through this harsh world, and He takes hold of our burden. What a blessed thought! The Lord God, the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities. He comes alongside of us. He takes a hold of our burden. The believer needs the same down-to-earth basic help every day. What burden are we speaking about? What infirmity? The burden of living in the weak, sinful, morally deficient bodies. He knows our tendency toward evil, and the Bible says that He helps us with it. He knows that we're prone to wander, and He helps us. He knows that we often grow weary in well-doing, and He helps us. So it is only through the ministry of the Spirit of God working in us to help us that we're even able to do anything that could be called good. We are weak. We are sinners, but He strengthens us so that we are able, by His help, to carry on for the glory of God. Notice also in verse 26 and 27, the Comforter speaks for us. Now, to illustrate his point, Paul appeals to the arena of prayer. And because of our sins and our propensity toward evil and for evil, we are not able to pray in a manner that is absolutely consistent with the perfect will of God. However, the Holy Spirit, who is God, knows the will of God, and He knows what is in our redeemed spirit. He takes our prayers, which are often flawed, which are often misguided, and He straightens them out, and He tells the Father what is really in our hearts. Friends, that's a bigger blessing than you could ever know. After all, who among us knows the perfect will of God in every matter? Who among us knows how to pray about everything we hear about? Who knows the mind of God better than God? The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God because He is God. Therefore, He's able to translate our prayers out of a flawed, selfish language that we many times often use into the perfect will of God. This is genuine biblical praying in the Spirit. And while creation groans to be free from the curse, and while Christians groan to be free from these bodies, the Spirit of God groans to see the will of the Father done in the world and in our lives. That is why He takes such an active role in everything we do. It isn't just prayer. Prayer is merely the illustration Paul uses. The Holy Spirit is actively involved in the process of aiding us as we travel through this life, as we travel through this world. He is just, who Jesus said He would be. He is the Comforter. He is the one who guides us. He is the one who entreats us. He is the one who loves us. He is the one who instructs us. He is the one who carries us when we need it. He's the one that mends our spirit, who encourages our heart. John 14 and verse 16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you forever. He says in verse 18 of John 14, I will not leave you comfortless. The word comfortless there is orphans. He says, I will not leave you. You are my children. You are not orphans. You are mine. You belong to me. I will comfort you, and I will send the Holy Spirit to do that when I'm gone. Therefore, let us not grow weary as we walk through this world. There's going to be times when it's hard to worship. There's going to be times when it's hard to pray. There's going to be times when it's hard to do the work of the Lord, but we have a helper. We have one living inside of us. We have one within us who always rises up to meet the challenge, and he will enable us to walk in victory every single day. Whoever said that the walk of faith was an easy walk completely and utterly lied. I will say that even though it isn't always easy, it is never impossible. Will we suffer? Yes. Will we groan while we are here? Yes. Will there be times when we fail and feel like quitting? Yes. In those times, remember that we have the Spirit of God within us. He enables us to remain diligent and committed as we travel toward our homeland. Our conversation, our citizenship is not of this world. We are only passing through. We are headed toward a better country. We're headed toward heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. I trust that you'll invite Jesus Christ into your heart if you have never done so. And if you already are a believer, I trust that you would grab hold of the Word of God and put the Word of God in your mind, in your heart, saturate yourself with it. My friend, that is your power. Use it. Use it. God bless you. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.